This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
15 All right, we roll on with the Heat Talk. 15 minutes of Heat brought to you by BrandsMart USA. Buying the BrandsMart way for the holiday season means the lowest prices and the largest selections of TVs, appliances, mattresses, cell phones, and more. Visit your local BrandsMart USA store today. We do this every Thursday. We go and we talk to Ira Winneman from the Sun Sentinel on the Orion Fuels Announcers Convenience Store's guest line. Trulie's test beyond convenient. Ira, we open with the question that must be asked. What do you think of Joel Quenneville's mustache?
I think it's an upgrade on the Wanstash. I think it's South Florida moving forward with better upper lip approach. So I give it 100%. I move forward with that. I think, unlike Wani, Joel Quenneville has shown he's not going to play for the tie. They push forward, even if it's in the shootaround. So the shootout, rather. So I go with Q on the mustache.
Who has a top Heat mustache? Would you go in Heat history, Tony Fiorentino or Stan Van Gundy? Am I missing somebody?
I think Stan, because of, and we know how we've described that look, just the overall look there. I think when you can be a highly respected NBA coach, but also lean toward the adult film star look also, I think that's when you really nailed it in South Florida. Meanwhile, getting off mustaches for a second, because I did listen here in my radio.com app in my hotel room here. Screw Javi for this reason. Oh, you support the Heat, you go out everywhere. You guys know this for a fact. Now for 32 years, every game the Heat lose, I am standing by the tunnel after the game yelling to each individual player, good job, good effort. But do I get the credit? No. It's all about Javi. You know what? I've decided, and I actually have the invitation, I am not attending Javi's wedding. I am not going to the wedding that he's attending. No, that's it. That's, if I don't get the credit, that's fine also. Because believe me, I have plenty of clothes that are too tight as well.
Man, that was
everybody's got a little petty in them.
That was something. Hey, you know, good for him, man. At least somebody needed to bring some effort in that game, because that Denver game was very lackluster. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. Was it the thin air? Do you think it was one of those things where the season caught up to him? Because I would say you have a game where you hold Jokic to what he was held to with all that foul trouble and whatnot. You feel pretty good about your chances going into Denver, but man, just they never. Outside of that retaking of the lead in the first quarter, really didn't feel like they were in it, Ira.
I see, and I thought because of the beginning of the game also, I think, and I wrote about this in my Ask Ira today, I'm not sold on the Justice Winslow, Jimmy Butler chemistry. Remember, Jimmy Butler missed the first three games, Justice Winslow then missed two games. So five of the first six games, they weren't on the court together. They're both facilitating type of players first. So when you have two guys like that in the starting lineup, a non-outside shooter, God bless him, and Bam Adebayo. Remember how the ball was popping against Houston? How everyone, including Duncan Robinson, was making shots? You had those shooting options. I think that's an example of when you redo your lineup, when you redo your rotation, sometimes it doesn't exactly click. It's off a little bit. So I'm really curious to see how Spo plays it out tonight against the Suns and tomorrow against the Lakers. I think it's so early in the season. The Heat are still working through things. But I do have questions about those two in the starting lineup with their facilitate-first approaches to the game.
Ira, I get the feeling that between one of those two guys, whoever it is, whether it's Jimmy or whoever plays across from him, the same thing with Justice, one of those guys needs to be more explosive. So
needs to be more proactive with the offense. I love what Jimmy is trying to do. He's trying to be the ultimate team player. He's trying to say, hey, I got that, you know, I got the $240 million contract, but I'm on board with you guys. I'm playing this game together. We're all going to be in this together. That's not his role on this team. He's not playing with Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, or he's not playing with Embiid and Simmons. He needs to be the dog. He needs to get his shots as well, because he's one of the few guys who can do that creatively. I mean, God bless, in the previous segment we joked about Kendrick Nunn, but he's just such a neophyte. So I need Jimmy Butler to sort of be a guy who's going to grab the reins of the offense a little more. I don't think there's any of us who said, hey, if Jimmy Butler averages 16 points, the Heat are getting their money's worth. I think everyone looked at Jimmy as, hey, he's been telling us for years he wants to be the lead dog. Going back to Chicago and Derrick Rose, he wasn't, you know, necessarily that either. I think that's what matters more than anything, is Jimmy Butler stepping up, maybe going outside of his comfort zone. But you know what? When you get your lifetime contract, I think that's when you make that move as well.
What do you think of the last couple of games, Kendrick Nunn not being the hottest rookie in the league? Seems like it's come down to earth a little bit. Is this expected? Is there any signs of trouble that you see, or is this just it's expected because of where he is?
Yeah, I was the guy at 5-1 who said, hey, people, it's early in the season. You played two games against Atlanta without Trae Young. You played a game against a marginal Memphis team. Keep it all in perspective. So I was sort of tempering when Kendrick Nunn was Rookie of the Year and when's going to be the award ceremony, and the last two games also. That's NBA life for a young player. And you know what? If Kendrick Nunn can give me 41 solid, completely unexpected games, I'll take the other 41 as well, because from where he came from to where he is now, that's fine also. So the story I wrote was just really trying to temper that, hey, he's not going to be great. He's not going to be awful. Eventually, he'll settle into a nice niche. Yes, he's getting scouted for the first time in his NBA career. But you know what? There's some really good people in the Heat video department who will sit down with him and saying, okay, we're done playing checkers. Now we're playing chess. They're going to make these moves. These are your counters. This is when you see if a player can evolve and not sort of be a one-week or one-month wonder. This is when you can see, are we talking about a career here where after these 2 years on his contract, there's going to be more of a payout? This is part of the game right now. We know from a physical standpoint, Kendrick Nunn can do it all. Now we have to see his mental makeup and the way he adjusts as well.
Okay, so we'll go to the actual Rookie of the Year upcoming, Tyler Hero,
okay,
who obsesses about Devin Booker. He's got that matchup tonight. Do you see the similarities he's talking about? I mean, same school, same draft pick, same style. Like, do you get the parallels there? Do you like the fact that he has such an infatuation with Devin as a player?
Oh, I think so many of the factors, like you cited, lined up that before the draft, that's the name you all came up with, you know. And I think when people sort of do that, you get in trouble because no two players are exactly the same. But, yeah, I mean, their career arc, 1 year at Kentucky, coming out at 19 years old. Are they too young, being put in a position where they really can be a leading man? Obviously, Devin Booker with the scorched earth here in Phoenix. You know, Tyler Hero comes in the year after Dwayne Wade retires. Their career arc are so similar. It makes all the sense of the world. The thing is, the Heat will never ask Tyler Hero to do what Devin Booker does because they understand that's not winning basketball. And that's the thing on Devin Booker. When people talk about how great he is and the new contract and all he's done, you look at his team's year-by-year records, that's completely unacceptable if the Heat ever went in that direction. So I know this is the cliche, but he wanted to make sure also that Tyler Hero can play winning basketball. So I think his career will be different. I don't think he'll ever put up the numbers Devin Booker does, because I'm not so sure putting up the numbers Devin Booker has necessarily advanced the Suns either. So, yeah, there's plenty in the game, including the athleticism and the explosiveness and the outside shooting and all of that. But if Tyler Hero makes it, I want to get Devin Booker numbers also. I think that's where he'll get himself into trouble.
Okay, so yesterday on Instagram, Deion Waiters post, watch how it all come together. Bullseye emoji, fist emoji, fingers crossed emoji. Oh, what the hell does that mean? Does that mean he's going to sit on the bench tonight? I don't understand.
Or that they talk to him about a trade, or that they're trying to relocate him to a better place. I mean, it is the oddest situation. You know, again, I got to admit, when Eric Spoelstra told us before the game the other day that Deion Waiters was inactive, I was sort of slack-jawed at the moment because, well, wait a minute, he was active on Sunday but wasn't on the bench. Where is this whole thing playing out? Again, you have to make three players inactive on game night. We know tonight Daryl Macon is in the G League. We know tonight Kazi Akala is out because the Achilles, which means one more player tonight, again, has to be inactive. Is it Chris Silva on his two-way? Is it, don't mind it's one me, I'm just telling you this, is it Udonis Haslam for the first time in his career having to go do that? Or who else? So, again, you can only dress 13. The Heat have 16. Two, I know we're out. You guys know the roster as well as I do. Who else would you choose if everyone is healthy? If Winslow is healthy and Derek Jones Jr. is healthy, Eric Spoelstra every night with this roster mix will have to make a decision of which player he makes inactive. And right now, Deion Waiters, there's nothing pointing in his direction unless maybe Spoelstra told his players, look, we have so many choices that we're just going to have to rotate it. And maybe that's what the whole post was about, is that he told Chris Silva, we're not going to count this as a two-way day. Don't show up and shoot around later today. This is going to be Deion's chance to be active. Even if he's active, guys, let's assume the same starting lineup. So let's assume Butler starts with none in the backcourt. I think we would both agree, based on what they've done to this point, that the next two guards off the bench, unless you guys disagree, let me know, would be Goran Dragic and Tyler Hero. So at best, aren't we talking about fifth guard status right now for Deion Waiters?
Well, the only thing I just find so weird about this is an organization. They hate distractions. They love, you know, everybody being as quiet as possible. Is the not being on the bench and the mystery of him and out, is that Deion? I know it is Deion created because he's the first one who stepped out of bounds with this stuff. But the elongating of this process, like, is this coming from the Heat side or is this coming from his side? Because it's so out of character of the franchise. They've dealt with Mopes before.
It's coming from the Heat side, but it's almost a crisis management thing where Pat Riley and staff sit down, and I'll give you the example. You guys remember last year in the last couple of seasons when Hassan Whiteside wasn't starting and wasn't playing a lot.
Yep.
You also recall how all of us would watch whether he was moping on the bench, right?
Yeah.
We saw all these gifs taken of him sitting six seats down on the bench, everyone else in the huddle. We all wrote, you guys noted on your radio show, Hassan was completely disengaged with 6:24 to go in the fourth quarter when the Heat called timeout in a one-point game. So which is worse, not having Deion Waiters out of sight for the entire 48 minutes, so you don't notice that, or running the risk of Deion, you're in uniform, you're active, you probably won't play. And let's face it, the games you guys can go to American Airlines Arena, the games you guys watch on Fox Sports Sun, you're going to be like me looking to see what Deion Waiters' body language is. So I think the Heat's risk assessment in these last couple of games has been, hey, we don't need that. We don't need Anthony Carter or someone having to nudge him toward the huddle and keep Deion engaged and not have him walking around on the perimeter. So to me, you can't win either way unless he's in the game. And even then, he's in the game, but he only plays James Johnson garbage time like last game when JJ played the last 6 minutes. It's still going to be an issue. Once you create an issue, it never becomes a non-issue.
Ira, just purely on the court, is there anything this team is missing by not having Deion Waiters available?
Yeah, I think there are times when you need that streak scoring burst that in the first five games you got from Kendrick Nunn, you got from Tyler Hero. But you know what? At some point, rookies fizzle out. They can say they have all the uber confidence in the world, but they're still mere children. They're mere kids. I know Kendrick's a little older, but in terms of NBA experience, the one thing Deion Waiters has always told us is that he would rather go 2 for 18 than 0 for 8. He's going to keep shooting. He's going to try to have that moment. He can still be that streak scorer, change of pace, sort of punt returner that you need. Hey, we need a big play. Let's get Deion in there. I think they have been missing that, especially with Jimmy Butler playing so passive and playing more as a facilitator. So, yeah, I think he's the guy you bring out of the bullpen when you need your closer to load up on those Chapman 105-mile-an-hour fastballs. I think he can give you a change of pace. And yet, Deion will tell you, I'm more than that. I'm not just a 12-minute spark plug. I think that's why they're at loggerheads right now.
Appreciate the time, Ira. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Ira.
Thanks.
Screw hobby. Thank you, guys.
Jeez.
Wow.
It was harsh.
Wow.
Hobby, I thought he was great. I was getting texts from all sorts of people that it was a great interview, and Ira, not a man.
Not everybody's cup of tea.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.